time change. Greg mentioned this morning about the truck that will be coming in tomorrow. So if you can help with that, I want to encourage you to see Greg. Also in the bulletin, there's times that he will need a few people to help this week as we continue to distribute cleaning items and food items to those that are affected by the flood. So thank you so much in advance for your help this week, but also for those who have helped. Spent many hours over the last week or so serving in that way. And so if you can be here in the morning and help unload the truck, again, please see Greg. And if you can help distribute that food from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., that would be greatly appreciated this week. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 17, the Bible says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." There's a fascinating story that comes out of a tragedy that happened back in 1989, an earthquake which almost flattened Armenia. This deadly tremor killed over 30,000 people in less than 4 minutes. In the midst of all that confusion of the earthquake, there was a father who rushed to his son's school only to find that it had been flattened. Standing there looking at what was left of the school, the father remembered a promise he had made his son. "No matter what, I will always be there for you." Tears began to fill his eyes. It looked like a hopeless situation, but he could not get off his mind that promise that he had made. Remembering that his son's classroom was on the back right corner of the building, the father rushed there and started digging through the rubble. As he was digging, other grieving parents arrived, clutching their hearts, saying, "My son, my daughter." They tried to pull him off of what was left of the school, saying, "It's too late. They're dead. You can't help. Go home." Even a police officer and a firefighter told him he should go home. To everyone who tried to stop him, he said, "Are you going to help me now?" They did not answer him, and he continued digging for his son, stone by stone. He needed to know for himself, is his boy alive or is he dead? This man dug for 8 hours, then 12 hours, then 24 hours, then 36. And finally on the 38th hour, as he pulled back a boulder, he heard his son's voice. He screamed his son's name, and a voice answered him, "Dad, it's me, Dad." Then the boy added these priceless words, and he said, "I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you would save me. And when you saved me, they'd be saved. You promised that, Dad. No matter what, you said I'll always be there for you. And there you are, Dad. You kept your promise." The father, he kept seeking for that son, didn't he? He kept searching. Because he had made a promise. You know, God has made us a promise. We want to talk a little bit about that promise as we think about seeking God's ways. You see, as one begins his journey to Christ's likeness, that person can be described as a seeker. A seeker is someone who is searching to discover God's will in their life. Very much like that father, he was searching. He was seeking for his son. This could be someone who has never discovered God's love, or it could be someone who have lost their way, who have fallen away from that relationship with the Father, and they're seeking their way home. Very similar to Luke chapter 15. You remember the prodigal son, when he came to himself, he began turning back home. He began seeking his way home. David Layton says, "No matter the reason one is seeking, there are certain characteristics common to most seekers. They focus on self, but they have a sense of something greater. There's also a dissatisfaction with one's current spiritual condition. And then there's the motivation to change, but unsure of the direction. And then finally, there's confusion over answers regarding spiritual questions." But there are many reasons that one might become a seeker. But generally, those seeking God, they seek God for three reasons. And those reasons, that's what we want to talk about over the next few minutes. A significant life event causes them to seek. Our realization of their own insufficiency, or an awareness of the need for one's salvation. So he says one of the first things that brings a person to being a seeker is that a significant life vents. Now, these are moments that when we realize we're in need of assistance and that we cannot deal with these events ourselves. Now, these can be both positive and negative events. Think about some of those positive events that would cause a person to say, you know, I can't handle this event on my own. Even positive events like a birth of a child, a wedding, a graduation, or any other memorable moment. But then there's also those negative events that cause a person to become a seeker. A death of a loved one. A weakened relationship with a spouse or a divorce. A catastrophic event in our society. Very much like what we've seen in the last several years. I think of 9/11, September 11, 2001. I think about the 2008 tornado that came through Craven's area. What about the April 2011 tornado outbreak in the southeast, particularly Alabama and Mississippi? And what about the hurricane last year down on the coast of Florida? And what about the recent floods of our area? You see, these are events that can challenge a person in their life, that can turn a person's heart, that can turn their life and cause them to become a seeker. You know, Scripture is full of both positive and negative events in people's lives that cause them to be a seeker, to come to their realization that they can't do it on their own, that they need salvation, that they need to grow spiritually even in a walk with God, and they need to seek God. Turn your Bibles there, if you haven't already, to the book of Acts chapter 2. This is one of the first places that I think about. You remember that great sermon that Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost? And I want you to notice just the last part of that chapter, or of that lesson, that sermon that Peter preached. Beginning in verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Now you remember all these different people converging on Jerusalem. Different people from different backgrounds, from different nationalities, but yet they were all Jews. And they had come together for this event into Jerusalem. And Peter and these other apostles, they begin to speak in those tongues. And then Peter stands up and he preaches this lesson. So there's thousands of people there. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, notice what happened to these individuals. Notice their change of heart. Notice how their path changed. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because of the things that they had done and they had been witness to, and now because of the things that they were hearing, they are convicted and they are cut to the heart to cause them to change and to seek something, to seek a different direction, to seek what is obviously God's way. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then that famous statement that Peter made. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And as these people changed their direction, as they began to seek, that even affected others. Turn over also to the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and this is a very familiar passage. Saul converted to Paul, and this is that Damascus Road experience that he had. And I want you to notice verses 1 and 2 reveals to us who Saul is. What Saul is seeking to do. You see, he's some sort of seeker, but he's seeking a different direction. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Now this says a lot about who Saul was, his nature. He says he was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And went to the high priest, asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And then you remember that event that changed his life. He's on the road to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And so here's the turning event in Saul's life. And he, Saul, says, "Who are you, Lord?" And then he tells Saul what to do. Saul goes to Ananias' house. He's baptized. And then in verse 20, the Bible says, once he could see again, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. This event changed the way Saul was seeking. This event changed who Saul was. This event changed what Saul was teaching. And now he was seeking, a seeker of the way of Christ. And then I think about Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is another event that happened in someone's life, and it caused them to seek God's way. You remember at midnight, Paul and Silas, they're praying and singing hymns to God, and then this earthquake comes, and the keeper of the prison, he's gonna kill himself because he believes all the prisoners have left because of this earthquake. And he would rather kill himself instead of being killed by his superiors. Verse 28. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He's changed because of this event, the way he's going. He's changed and he's seeking something different. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. These are just a few examples of events. Some positive, some negative, that cause these individuals to seek a different way. And the interesting thing is that it affected the way others were seeking. You ever thought about that? The way I'm seeking affects others. All the places, all the more importance on me making sure that I'm seeking God's way. That I'm looking. I want to know if there's a question, if there's something. I want to go to God's Word. I want to find His answers. I want to find His way. Because not only does it make a difference in my life, it makes a difference in the lives of those I'm around. Another common reason that people become seekers is a realization of their own insufficiency. You know, fortunately, not everyone has to go through a negative situation in order to decide and to realize their need for God. Many become seekers because over time they realize, you know what, I need God in my life. I need to be seeking God. I need to be seeking His way. An example of this comes back over in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, you remember that Ethiopian eunuch. It seems this was a good man. He had been up to Jerusalem and he had been worshiping. Not only do we see in this Ethiopian a desire to know more about God, because when Philip found him there, do you remember what he was doing? He was reading, the Bible says, from the prophet Isaiah. He was reading the Scripture. He was seeking God. Like I was saying, he went to the Scriptures. He's looking in the Scriptures. He wants to find God's way. He's seeking. But we also realize that he was a devout man. We see that he was seeking God. He was a devout man. He's searching the Scriptures. But yet, when he's taught those Scriptures, we see the positive way that he reacts to what he's learned. He sees what's evidently to be truth, and he changes, and he seeks a different direction. He had been to worship, and while he was reading, the Holy Spirit brought Philip to him. Philip asked if he understood what he was reading. You remember how the story goes. And he asked Philip some questions about the sacrifice of a lamb. And Philip then taught him about Jesus. You see, when this Ethiopian realized this truth, he obeyed the Lord. So he was a devout man, but he was seeking. And he was seeking God's way. And when we seek God's way, God provides the answers. And then a third reason that people become seekers is there is an awareness of the need for one's salvation. Sometimes one becomes a seeker after they're brought to this realization of their own need for salvation. Like Acts chapter 10, you remember Cornelius. Cornelius is this Roman centurion. He's a Roman military officer. And the Bible says he's a devout man, one that fears God. But the Bible doesn't give an indication that he was seeking any further spiritual growth. But it doesn't say that he wasn't either. But that he was simply serving God the best way he knew how. He was seeking God's way, wasn't he? And when we seek God's way, God provides an answer. Cornelius had a vision telling him that his prayers and actions, they had been recognized by God. And he was told to send for Peter. And he does so. But about that same time, Peter's having a vision, you remember. Peter has this vision about these unclean animals that under Jewish law were considered unclean. And he's commanded in that vision to eat, but he refuses to eat. And then he's told, do not consider unclean what God has made clean. And not long after Peter's vision, remember Cornelius' servants, they arrive and they ask Peter and tell him about their master Cornelius and said, he summons you and he wants you to come to his house. And when Peter arrives, Cornelius tells Peter about the vision. And then Peter, he understands his vision then. And that he needs to teach Cornelius and his household. And while Peter is teaching, you remember the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 there, that the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak tongues the same way they had done on the apostles in Acts chapter 2. Showing that God wanted Gentiles also to be saved and experience salvation. And this convinced Peter of God's will, that these Gentiles should be baptized and added to God's kingdom, as were the Jews in Acts chapter 2. Someone said, despite Cornelius being described as a devout, God-fearing man in chapter 10 and verse 2, he needed to come to a better understanding of God's will. He's seeking, but he needed some more answers. He needed some more direction. And when we seek God's way, he provides answers. Although at the time he did not consider himself a seeker, he came to the realization of his need through Peter's teaching and the actions of the Holy Spirit to seek God's way, to be added to God's kingdom, to submit to Jesus Christ. In the late 19th century, John Wanamaker opened a department store in Philadelphia. Within a few years, that enterprise had become one of the most successful businesses in the country. But operating his store wasn't Wanamaker's only responsibility. He was also named Postmaster General of the United States. And he served as the head of their Sunday school department in his church. When someone asked him how he could hold all these positions at once, he explained this. Early in life, I read, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He said, the church business, overseeing this Sunday school, that's my business. All the rest are things. Someone said of Wanamaker, one of the evidences of his desire to keep the Lord's work first in his life was a specifically constructed soundproof room in his store. Every day he spent 30 minutes there praying and meditating on God's word. He had his priorities straight. When we seek God's way, God provides the answers. Jesus would say it this way in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God." You remember, he's talking about all the things going on in the person's life there, in the story that he's telling. All these distractions and all these things. And see even how in nature God takes care of things. And essentially Jesus is saying, you're worrying about all the wrong things. Here's what you do first. And Wanamaker is just one example of that. You seek God and His kingdom first. His righteousness. And all these other things, Wanamaker said, will be added to you. Will be taken care of. Tonight, what are you seeking? It's our prayer that you're seeking God's way. See, the Bible tells us that if you seek God's way, He will provide answers. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not necessarily given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been seeking and maybe you haven't found Him. The Bible tells us, like Philip told the eunuch. The eunuch said, "Here's water. What's keeping me from being baptized? What's keeping me from submitting and giving my life to Jesus Christ and making Him Lord of my life? And dying with Him in the watery graves of baptism to rise in newness of life." If you're here tonight, we want to help you in that way. If you're ready to submit your life to the Lord. Maybe you're here and you've been seeking. And maybe through your study you've come to some other conclusions. And you want to make those things right with the Lord. Maybe you just need to ask our church family to pray with you, to pray for you, to lift you up before Almighty God. Whatever your need is tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come forward as together we stand and sing.